Welcome to NFL Schwitz. What are we on? Week six?
Week seven.
Week seven. Wow, this football season's almost over. Pretty crazy. Today we're... What, it's not?
Yeah. That's just a dark comment.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
it's almost, know, it's we're, almost, we're almost at the halfway. Then you
oh, no, but then you got week 17. So it's eight. It's when...
Yeah.
It's a week... Oh, 2 weeks from today, we'll be at the halfway point. Like,
it's pretty crazy.
Wednesday between 8 and 9.
I give it 42%. That's where I am.
42%
well, no, 42 after this weekend.
Well, I'm just getting started, fellas.
We're like 38 and change.
Got it. Well, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm here with Vic at VWeb and Jack at Jack Not John, as always. And today we're going to be talking some NFL headlines, power rankings, injury updates. God, everybody's getting injured these days. Some spread pick'em to see if maybe we can win you some money. A fantasy update, survivor update, and anything really we want to talk about. Beginning with headlines, Rams trade three draft picks to the Jacksonville Jaguars for cornerback Jalen Ramsey. That was really the news of the weekend. Is Jalen Ramsey worth the 2020 first-round pick, 2021 first-round pick, 2021 fourth-round pick? Back-to-back first-rounders is a big deal, and this is not the NBA. Usually in the NFL, it's like a sixth-round pick for... And I never understood that.
I think it's interesting you brought up the NBA, actually, because in the NBA, they deter teams from doing this. You can't do this in the NBA. You can't give back-to-back first-rounders. So it kind of just tells me how big of a haul this is for Jalen Ramsey. You're giving back-to-back first-round picks. The first pick of each draft for the Rams is now going to the Jags. I don't know if you saw that what I posted on our...
You posted
on
something?
Yep, I did.
Holy smokes.
The last three first-rounders of the Jags are on the Rams.
Wow.
Which is kind of hilarious.
That is hilarious. What was that from? Do we know?
Like what years?
Like what trade was that?
No, it was Dante Fowler.
Bortles
signed. But to your question, I don't see that the Rams right now, like they've taken almost a step back. I think Goff has certainly taken a step and a half back. So I think it's a future move. You know, you're still getting a really young, definitely a top three corner in the league. He's not one of my favorites. I think, you know, remember the other two off seasons ago where he went at every quarterback in the league except Jameis
for everybody
because of FSU?
Right, and the Tyreek Hill comment, and you know, this guy, he's a returner.
What did he say about Goff? Because, like, I'm sure he went at him.
I'm sure he said something.
So, I mean, I think this is what he wanted, so I think he's going to come in and at least from the start be a really good locker room guy, be really hyped. The back, we know that's all bullshit. Even Doug Marrone was laughing when he delivered the news that, oh, Ramsey's out with a back injury. He wanted out of Jacksonville, and he's going to L.A., and he's going to a sexy young coach in Sean McVay, a sexy offense.
He is hot.
By Goff. I mean, they've been a little underwhelming this year, but... He's definitely going to add a spark. Is Aqib Talib still their go-to corner?
He's going to be out.
He's always out.
Weeks. That's why it was.
Yeah, he's always
big for them. He's 42 or something.
That's the problem with the Rams. It's all names. And like,
I agree.
It's a different problem for them every week. Last week, Goff had, 78 yards? They couldn't move the ball at all. Jalen Ramsey isn't going to help them move the ball. The weeks before, of course, when they gave up 100 points or whatever it was to the Buccaneers.
That's a lot of points.
I think the Buccaneers scored 58, something like
was
that.
Was that against the Rams?
Yeah, they lost in Rams.
He'll definitely help with that.
Yeah, he should help with that.
But he can't cover every guy.
No, but he's like the defensive version of Baker Mayfield. He's a guy that just talks and talks and talks.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even go that far afield. I think you're getting into the weeds there. The talking part, sure, because Jalen Ramsey.
That's what I'm saying. From a
yapper,
talking perspective,
but
are you going to say that Baker is better at what he does than
it's literally not. I said he was
okay,
too far afield.
Because we know you're all the way up Baker's asshole.
I said
asshole.
He was getting into the weeds with the talking part. When you look at Ramsey's play, and this is why, look, I think it was worth it only because his birthday's coming up in a couple weeks. He'll be 25.
You're a big birthday guy.
Shutdown corners in this league are so valuable. There are guys that do it right now. It's really Marshawn Lattimore, Stephon Gilmore, and the Pats. And I'm not really sure. Aqib Talib is one of those guys, but they don't have him for another 8 weeks. They don't. And they have great longevity. Cornerbacks do, at least. More than running backs, I believe so, in terms of career-wise. I mean, Champ Bailey did it forever. So in terms of giving up the picks, I think that was actually worth it. I really do.
Nice. I don't think it was worth it.
No, neither do I.
I think that...
I don't think they're good.
I know that you didn't like my call about like comparing him to Baker from a talking perspective, but Jalen Ramsey doesn't shut the fuck up. I don't think that he...
No, I agreed with that. I'm saying in terms of evaluating the trade part.
No, I wasn't evaluating the trade. I was just saying in general, Jalen Ramsey does not shut the fuck up. And to say that he'd be a good locker room guy, a guy that doesn't shut the fuck up isn't always a good locker room guy. They need to simmer. Like, whatever's going on, there's stuff going on there. Everything looks worse. The offense looks worse. The defense
looks worse.
You're
saying
in L.A.? In L.A. They've lost all of their fans every single week, regardless of who plays.
Not as bad as the Chargers, though.
No, but the Chargers are worse. But still, if you go to a Rams home game, they're so fair weather. By the end of
fucking
last
LA,
year,
man.
I know, but at least by the end of last year, the stadium was more Rams fans, I guess, because they were in the playoffs, but...
I'm not saying Jalen Ramsey is like a guy I want in my locker room. I'm saying Jalen Ramsey, right off the plane from Jacksonville, now he's on the Rams, is going to be a good locker room guy week 7. Is he going to remain this after they're going to lose more? They're not just getting Jalen Ramsey. All right, we're winning every game. They're going to lose some games. There are going to be some ups and downs. He's going to have a playbook and a defensive scheme that he's going to have to get behind. Is it still Wade Phillips?
Yes, I believe so.
It's still Wade Phillips.
So, it's a team that was second in defense last year, and now you plug in a huge hole. And you're going to have to do that when you're playing the likes of Seattle and San Francisco twice a year with the weapons that they have. So, I mean, it definitely plugs a gigantic gash in the defense that we were not used to seeing last year because they were so freaking dominant.
I will say something because I think you're about to lead us there, but I think for the Jags, I'm ecstatic. You get rid of a guy who, as you said, is just a detriment. You know, he's sitting out practices, games, my back, I'm having my second kid. By the way, 2 kids? 25.
He's getting busy.
Yeah, he's definitely getting fit. That's why his back's hurting. But if you could get back-to-back...
Can you imagine being like on the injury report for too much sex? Just like, I'm just like pounding out children and throughout my back and I'm just...
The way you said that is so worrisome. I'm pounding out kids.
Yeah, pounding out kids.
Yeah, let's move on from the paternity.
He's a factory.
Let's move on from the paternity.
He's a one-man assembly
here.
Line. But I think for the Jags, I know the owner was really high on keeping Ramsey, but I think when you get a haul like this, what is it, 4 total picks?
Three.
I still think in the NFL to get 2 first-rounders in back-to-back years... They're not, and next year they might not be that good. I mean, they're not that good right now. The Rams. What are they? 3-3.
Yes. Okay. And that's exactly.
And that's a really tough division.
That leads us to our next question. At 3-3, how much does Jalen Ramsey help the Rams? Is he the missing link? Is he playing this week?
He could.
So if they, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. If they lose either of the next 2 games to the Falcons or the Bengals, this is just irreversible. I don't care if Jalen Ramsey is 1 foot. You got to beat the Falcons.
Well, yeah. Well, you got weapons like Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, and I'm not saying that they're going to run into problems. We know Goff's road games are never really that good. They are playing in a dome, though, so that will help. And the fact that the Falcons, I mean...
Are they going to lose to the Falcons?
I don't think they will, just because...
But you're so right. His road splits are terrible.
Right, but the way that they got shut down against the Niners last week at home, now I'm starting to give myself like a little reverse logic here. Like, now he'll have the bounce-back game because they absolutely need to. Or...
They did last week and the week before, too. They're on a 3-game losing streak.
But last week at least was the Niners. And not at least. I mean, it was the Niners who are insanely good in a defense nobody was really
so random
looking at.
So good.
So, but now, you know, I believe, you know, this trade is like... this trade is more of a metaphor for a panic button for me because when you look at who's ahead of you in your own division... Like, at this point, they should be thinking, how are we going to get the wild card? I don't think division's out of the question. We are 6 weeks in, and San Francisco did have a bye, so they've played one less game. But when you have a team that's 5-0 and 5-1 ahead of you in your own division, and that whole giant mess you got going on in the NFC North, you know, right now, eyes on the prize should be, let's win, let's win, let's win.
They've got a tough schedule ahead. I mean, yeah, you get... You see Arizona twice in the next 11 weeks. But this was your chance to steal one from San Fran, from, you know, divisional rival. You're then going to San Fran week 16. I mean, the best thing you could hope is that by that time, Garoppolo's sitting.
And then by then you have Aqib Talib back. I think it was the missing link.
Aqib Talib, to me, is not the Aqib Talib of old. I mean...
He's just flat out, like I said before, you know, you had guys like Champ Bailey, Deion Sanders, who have done this for a hell of a long time.
Dude, he's not close to those guys.
He could be. He's 3 years into the league. The guy gets
Akeem
60.
Tlaib?
No. I'm talking about Jalen Ramsey.
You were just talking about Akeem Tlaib. That's why you brought up Champ Bailey.
Akeem Tlaib was
I'm coupling into both. One, you're saying Akeem Tlaib's out, but really
he's saying Tlaib is nowhere near Champ Bailey.
The missing link.
No, Champ Bailey, but he was saying
the missing link.
But you were saying like Akeem Tlaib is already, but Akeem Tlaib, he's been in the league 9 years now, I believe.
Dude, the guy looks like he's 53.
Right, but these guys can, he can play till he's 80 then, because I'll give him another 10 years. And that's my math for the day. I'm just saying, he is bordering 30 years old.
Johnny, can we get an age update on Akeem Tlaib?
If anything, it would be the injuries. The point is that right now, Rams are in win-now mode. You got to the Super Bowl last year. You're in win-now mode.
By the way,
Akeem Tlaib's ready week 15, week 16, coupled with Ramsey.
Not that old.
Who's going to be able to throw on them?
He's 33.
If I'm the Rams, am I not nervous that I'm missing the playoffs altogether, given how good the division is?
100%.
I'm saying... Of course, there's panic, but you just didn't expect coming into this year that the Rams would a wild card isn't even maybe an option.
Right. Well, that's why that was my sort of point before, and that's why I think this is a metaphor for a panic button. It was because other teams wanted this guy.
A metaphor.
Who wouldn't want Jalen Ramsey? Everybody wants this guy. Talking aside, he is the shutdown corner, Revis Island, that we've seen time and again.
Next on the headlines, Ravens trade for Marcus Peters from the Rams, sending Kenny Young and a 2020 fifth-round pick. The way that I read that, I don't know who Kenny Young is, and it's a fifth-round pick. So to me, the Ravens got a really nice deal. But how significant is this trade for the Ravens? Either of you want to take
this? I like Kenny Young. He's young. He's 24.
He's,
played his college
he's
ball
young.
At UCLA.
His name is Kenny.
The reason you don't know it is Kenny Young's just a non-fact. He was a throw-in in this with the pick.
But that was sort of my question from before. That's why this
he
haul...
He had a forced fumble against the Chiefs, by the way. Don't sleep on Mr. Young.
But that's why this haul... I don't want to go back to Ramsey. I just want to use the example of... I've never heard two first-round picks... in an NFL trade.
In consecutive
teams
years.
Teams just don't... No, but in general,
yeah.
teams just...
But you also need
unless it's for, like, Khalil Mack.
No,
like,
but
teams
it's like a third and a sixth.
That's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
No,
it's
no,
always,
I agree.
And it's always like, why this would anybody
like
want... This sounds like a normal NFL trade.
Yeah, that's why we think the Ramsey deal... This was accumulation by the Rams to soften the blow when they get Jalen Ramsey.
Totally.
I mean, yeah, you're doing it with Mr. Kenneth Kim Young. Like that. Right? Middle name's Kim.
Really?
Yeah. And you get a fifth-round pick. I mean, have they been drafting? I mean...
Who, the Ravens?
No, the Rams. I mean, at the...
They haven't been drafting at all.
You could always get quality late in
They have a young quarterback, so that's why you can give up these
picks.
We
know Marcus Peters.
That's
he's
true.
A stud. He's going... By the way, I think this is a huge pickup for the Ravens, even more so than Ramsey to the Rams.
It's huge for
it's huge for
a few reasons. One is that they've had injuries in the secondary, and everyone's been staying away from Marlon Humphrey, who's playing at an all-pro level. That's the cornerback, and teams
Earl
have been
Thomas.
Throwing away and targeting the guys who have been filling in for the injured guys. So you have an injury-riddled secondary. The second thing is, like what you said, Peter's stud. That puts it lightly. The guy's got 24 picks since 2015. Most in the league.
Nice stats.
Really?
And he has several touchdowns. The only thing is, and the reason why you didn't have like a second or a third round pick, is that lately, and especially this season, Peters has been giving up a lot of yards. He hasn't been making as many tackles. There is a narrative that he is afraid to sort of make contact, make the stop with his hands and his body with his body when it comes to making plays with his hands and picking it off. That's where he really excels. And when you have to play in the AFC against quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, this is really a huge win for that, to be able to have that firepower.
Revenge game for Marcus Peters in a couple weeks when the Ravens head out to L.A.
That's a great
game.
Yeah,
he's going to be seeking some blood on Goff and McVay.
The Ravens have had no trouble scoring this year. I think that there's like one game that
they literally have like the top-ranked offense.
Yeah, because Lamar Jackson is doing anything and everything that he wants. Defenses are having so much trouble with him. He's running for 100 yards. He's passing for 200 yards. It looks like college.
Nice pick in fantasy, Ben.
Yeah, that was a nice one, right? And I think that this, and I'll open the floor as a question, but it'll be more of a not rhetorical, but I'm just going to answer it. I think that the Ravens are a shoo-in to win this division. I thought that they were going into the season because I thought the Browns were overrated. With the Steelers where they are, that defense is unbelievable, but there's just so far that you can go with a sleeping offense. Do we agree?
Dude, they have like Devlin, what's his name, Watson or something.
Who?
I mean, they're onto their third quarterback, the Steelers.
They are, but did you see what they just did to the Chargers?
Yeah, their defense is great. Minka
Fitzpatrick was
such a good scoop.
Huge. But I think
what they give up for him? Like, that's a
I'm sure nothing.
And not back-to-back first-rounders.
I doubt it's even a first-round
pick. This kind of makes no sense, especially for a guy who said, I do not want to be here.
It makes no sense.
The Jags had no leverage.
It makes no sense. It's not an NFL trade that I've ever remembered seeing.
And it's interesting that typically when you get, like, when Khalil Mack was traded, they instantly signed him to an extension and to a new deal. None of that with Ramsey. So, I mean, I'm sure it'll come along, but, like, usually you like to say, you know, we just gave a haul for you. Welcome to LA. Here's your jersey and here's a new contract.
Do you think Do you think, Vic, that Marcus Peters sort of locks up this division for the Ravens? I was going to say, if you can get off the Browns.
Well, that's the thing. Like, now.
Literally, fuck you.
No. And hear me out for this. First of all, when I was so high on Cleveland, and I still believe that they can make, I think they can make a playoff run. There's time. There's a lot of teams that are hovering around 500. We're only 6 weeks in.
They're not hovering around 500.
You're 2-4. That's hovering. If you were at 500, I'd say you're at 500. When you're hovering, you're hovering.
When you're hovering, you're a game behind. They're two.
I believe the division's locked up only because Lamar Jackson is only getting better. He's only progressing every single game, whereas Baker, no one really knows.
Dude,
he got the rushing touchdown last week. Sure, the numbers aren't as good as you'd like them to be. They lose a big one at home to Seattle.
And they play the Pats next week, so good luck.
So they're shoo-in. It's not about good luck or not good luck. It's about where the Ravens. The Ravens are 4-2. The Ravens have been playing very well. They had a tough battle with the Chiefs. I think the division, sure, it's theirs to lose. When it comes to the AFC Championship, I think that's a different story. And I think if they were really one guy away, they would have gone after Ramsey. They would have gotten Ramsey. Not to say that Marcus Peters is, it's probably the best second prize you could ever get in terms of cornerback sweepstakes. But I believe if they really thought they were there and had a championship, they would have done every single thing they could have. However, though, you know, you traded Young, we don't know who that guy is, and a fifth-round pick. So if Peters doesn't end up working out, look, it's not that bad. Essentially, it's high reward, low risk.
By the way, I misread your question, which is why I'm happy that you brought it up. I thought that this was talking about the division, but you're mentioning the crown, which I think we should talk about, the AFC in general. Does this Marcus Peters move put them closer to contending for that? And I would have to say absolutely not, because I think that the Patriots are running the
table. I mean, it puts them closer, but I still have them pegged at like 3 in the AFC.
I think that if they go 13,
The Chiefs are showing they're human. You know, Patrick Mahomes is not bionic.
But the Pats are not human.
I agree.
So I'm saying, do you think that I think that 13-3, 12-4 does not win this?
No, because we are also saying that we thought the Pats could go 14-2, let alone 16-0.
Yeah,
but even though it was a mistaken question, back
still
to the divisional.
Yeah, sure.
If I'm the Ravens, I'm more scared of the Steelers. I mean, the offense has to come. It can't get any worse than this. They had some tight battles. I mean, they almost beat San Fran in San Fran. They just lost to the Ravens by Justin Tucker's last-second field goal. They get Miami next week after the bye. Then Indy comes to town, who's not as good as we thought through 3 weeks. Then they get L.A.
So you have the AFC North up in the air.
I have the Ravens, but I definitely don't have your Browns. I got the Browns at 3. I'm more scared of the Steelers. And the Steelers have done it. So I don't trust Freddie Kitchens. I don't trust Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, well, Cleveland almost did it in the 90s. That doesn't count for anything.
You're asking me who the Ravens should be scared of most for the division? Are they a shoo-in?
If they're scared of anyone.
They're practically a shoo-in, but I wouldn't sleep on the Steelers just yet.
Also, the Titans this week are benching Marcus Mariota for Ryan Tannehill. Do we agree with this move?
Look, the offense has looked so sluggish. I mean, you take all 4 years of Mariota. He gets drafted second overall. And look, that was in a quarterback class. Jameis went first. The other quarterbacks in that draft, I looked it up today, you had Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley. Remember that guy who filled in for Aaron Rodgers?
From UCLA.
Who got absolutely rocked. you know, he was the guy to take in that draft, and I think you gave it the 4 years. He had some exciting plays. There was that Chiefs game. They miraculously won because the refs had no idea how to blow a play dead on a fumble. They shouldn't have even won that game. But the point is that they did. The fact that he even got a playoff win is nothing short of a miracle. But this year specifically, I mean, it's been all Derrick Henry. I don't think it really matters who the quarterback is.
That's exactly what it is. I think that this is such a mistake. I think Marcus Mariota is still a good quarterback. I think that this offense is all run. He's an option quarterback. They don't have him going down the field. He's been injured. So if he's healthy, I play him. If he's injured, I obviously don't play him. But if you look at who they've been losing to, you lost to the Bills. The Bills are a top five defense in the league, it looks like. You lost to the Broncos. The Broncos, back-to-back weeks, have let up no points. They're looking like, I picked them up in fantasy last week, thank God. They lost to the Jaguars. They lost to the Colts. These are top 5 to 10 defenses in the league. They're not getting blown out. It was a bad loss last week to the Broncos, for sure. But the Broncos did the exact same thing the week before. Who'd they do it to? That was the Chargers.
Ben,
the Chargers
at a point, these
you think
Mike
Ryan
Vrabel.
Tannehill's better?
I don't think it's bad. I think when you get Ryan Tannehill, who's been a career starter, there was that one season where his completion percentage was off the charts. Mm-hmm. He was awesome out of the gate. I mean, the guy's got some talent. He's one of the best backups in the league. And I think for
definitely
Vrabel and the Titans, who have made the playoffs like the last couple of years, you can't be like, Mariota played like dog shit, but it's okay because we went against a strong Indianapolis team.
And
you got to be like, we are not putting up fights. The ball isn't moving. We got to try a different sauce. And I think Ryan Tannehill might just be that other ingredient. You're not turning to Charlie Whitehurst. Okay, you're turning to a guy who's been in the position.
You Charlie Whitehurst?
I fucking love Charlie.
You love him.
He's a career.
I want to make a list of guys.
He's been a backup everywhere. He's been with the Titans. He's been everywhere.
By the way, the other thing is like they're benching him for this week. Who's to say he doesn't go in and start the second half?
Because it's not fair benching him against what looks like one of the worst teams in the league. The Chargers have no fucking clue what they're doing. This is an easy win for Tannehill, in my opinion. I don't know if we have spread Pick'em later.
So then you win.
Because that makes Mariota look like he couldn't have won that game.
Mariota stinks. Could I just bring up one tweet? Because you brought up Bryce Petty. This was following the 2015 draft.
Which
looks absolutely terrible. Skip Bayless. The Jets just got the steal of the draft. Their future starting quarterback, Bryce Petty.
That's why Skip Bayless is
on. I actually
love
him. I love when they draft him, just because I loved watching a guy throw over 500 yards in a spread.
How bad is Undisputed?
Awful. Him.
Everything on Fox. Everything on Fox Sports. Those shows were
FS1 was where the Yankee game on.
No, do they have good programming? Sure.
No.
It seems like everything that can't make it on ESPN just goes to FS1.
We'll end this conversation with one. He had another tweet from the same night. Why isn't Bryce Petty in the discussion for second best quarterback in the draft with Mariota? Petty will be a steal. I mean, is he Petty's uncle? Like,
it's
what?
It's like Vic with Baker. We'll be talking about Baker when Baker never does anything.
When he's a cab driver in downtown Cleveland.
He won't be getting benched for Ryan Tannehill, I'll tell you that much.
I guess that's right. You never know. Four years is a long time. Big trouble in Dallas. Third straight loss and at the Jets. How concerned are we with Dallas?
I'm concerned with Dallas, but I'm like, is it bad Dallas or better Jets? I think Gase really had some things up his sleeve. He said last week, which is a little weird for a head coach to say, he's not showing the whole playbook because he doesn't think the team could win without their starting quarterback. I mean,
that's
what he said.
No, I thought it was the package couldn't suit.
He basically said Falk sucked dick.
We're not showing these plays that we're going to be running with Darnold. I mean, the Robbie Anderson play, the Jets pulled some shit out of a hat. I think Dallas needs to figure something out because Kellen Moore and Dak are not on the same page right now. I think Jason Garrett has to be on the hot seat. He's a solid coach. He's been on the hot seat forever.
I was going to say, we can't keep pretending like Jason Garrett is ever on any hot seat. Everybody's always like, Jason Garrett should be on the hot seat. He's not. He never is. Jerry Jones.
You got to take care of business this week. You lose this week, I think you just fire him. Like on the spot, you're 3-4. Who? They have the Eagles, right?
They won't. Right. And they won't. And everybody always talks about this.
What is the connection there?
I don't know what the connection is. All that I know is that he doesn't do anything without Jerry Jones approving it. Jerry Jones.
Well, that's why.
Is the coach of this team, and that's it.
I mean, you could say that about a lot of franchises face. That, you know, you have the front Knicks, office breathing Knicks. Down their neck.
Yeah, really shitty ones.
Literally but, like the Knicks. You know, I'm not as concerned only because of the way they've lost a few of these games. The Saints game with the defensive matchup of this century, 12-10, and they still had chances to win at the end. You know, the Green Bay game, Green Bay just got hot, and then Dallas made a crazy comeback. They almost came all the way back. Some people want to say that was just garbage time. Really wasn't garbage time. Dak made some wild throws. Amari Cooper made some unbelievable plays. And then Amari Cooper, let's focus on that, goes out with a quad injury in the second quarter. Doesn't have him for the rest
not
of the game.
Great.
He just got Michael Gallup back. They haven't had the time to get the work in. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for the Dallas Cowboys. I think Ezekiel Elliott still did a crazy good job. 100-plus yards, 40 receiving, a touchdown. I think they caught the Jets on a high with Sam Darnold coming back.
For sure.
And who
I just
knows?
Want that as like my alarm every morning. They caught the Jets on a high. The Jets
dude,
on a
take,
high.
Take the Jets two-game sample size from this year. You lost to what is now being revered, a Bills team that people can't stop talking about. That's 4-1. That's who they lose 1-2. Forget about 2, 3, and 4.
Browns.
And then you beat the Dallas Cowboys at a 4 o'clock game Sunday. Darnold,
I got them going 11-5.
Well, forget
the Jets?
About 11-5.
Nice. This we're talking a little more about Dallas here. You Jets fans hijacking it, but Dallas is in trouble in my opinion, not because of how they've played. I agree with you, Vic. Like some of these losses, they're not that bad. The problem is that they have the hardest schedule I think I've ever seen coming down the stretch. Eagles, you could easily lose.
Giants,
you should probably win. Then you have Vikings, in Lions, in Pats, at home to the Bills, Bears, Rams, Eagles. That is like...
All right, I've got 11-5.
You have them at 11-5.
I have them losing two games, maybe. You lose
the
to the
Jets
Pats, and you drop one in division game.
You don't think that they lose? Have you been watching the Lions that you think that they're a shoe-in to win
the Lions?
By the
way, the Lions are so good. They're the best 2-2-1 team I've ever seen, ever.
All right, fine, 10-6.
And the Vikings are a cakewalk to you?
Not a cakewalk, but I think they can win that game.
The Giants?
Two. By the way, I mean in the Giants. I mean, it's a tough Monday night game.
So hard.
No, but even so, two against the Eagles.
They're coming right back here.
I'm just saying,
a fully healthy Dallas team. I don't even think it's a question. I think they're winning double digit games. Maybe it's 11. Probably 10
against the Giants.
Probably 10.
If Saquon's back, you never know. You never know. But this is a good moment to move on into some power rankings. Let's each give our top fives here. Vic, you want to start?
Yeah. I mean, it's Pat's far and away number one. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I will put Seattle ahead of San Francisco only because San Francisco's biggest win was just against the Rams. Now that the Rams are 3-3, it's kind of shaky. So I got Pats, Seahawks, Niners, Packers, and then at five, just because I can't even believe they're 5-1, I'm putting the Saints in at five. I mean, it's unbelievable. No Drew Brees. You're 5-1. Kamara's apparently now hobbling. I'm so impressed. And the defense, forget about it. So for me, that's my five.
But quickly, before I give you my five, did you guys watch this Lions-Packers game Thursday night?
So good, and it should have been a Lions win.
So fucked up, which is exactly what I was going to say, which is why I can't have Packers in my top five.
In top five?
Because
the defense is so good.
The defense is very good. The refs.
Man, you're amazing. The
refs
Detroit Lions.
It was one of the worst.
The refs won
the
that.
The Packers always seem to be in these games.
Back-to-back hands to face that weren't even close.
That was really bad.
How does that happen?
Look, you played.
It could have been the other way, too.
But you can like also say that the interception on the 1 yard line when it popped off, what's-his-name's face?
Shepard.
Shepard's face.
Was he cut yet?
There are pushes and pulls.
But it's not pushes and pulls. That wasn't the refs.
That's what I'm saying, that happens
in a game.
That's
right.
His
fault. These are two illegal hands.
Right, and what happens in a game also is blown calls.
What was the blown call? It hit his helmet, and it was caught.
That's not a blown call.
He doesn't know how to catch a ball.
Why is that a blown call?
You just said it was a horrible, it should have never happened.
No,
illegal hands
to the
face.
You're talking about the interception.
No, and then you said that has nothing to do with a call, and I said it's things that happen in the game.
It's
blown
not,
calls happen.
It's not.
Freak plays.
Did you see it? Did you watch
Ben,
it?
Ben,
do you really think refs are getting 100%? Yes. Do you really think refs? Do you really think refs are getting 100% accuracy in every single one of every single football game?
The same drive. On the same play.
I don't care about same drive.
You ready for the stat? That guy that got called for both of them on the same drive had never.
Was it Smith?
I don't remember his name. He had never, ever been called for an illegal hands to the face in his career. In his career.
I mean, then, if you're telling me that, I'm going to say the man was due.
No, well, that's you could see it on that side. But so for my top five, I have the Pats. I think that they are far and away the best team in the league. God, then it gets really, really sticky. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. Vic, I agree with you. Russell Wilson. No picks. That's it. Clean. No picks. They're at two. Then I have San Francisco at three. I probably have Baltimore at four. And then I'm going to go Buffalo at five. From what I've seen, this 4-1 Bills team, the defense is so good. They held the Pats to 16 points. I know that it's a little recency bias because they were just on a bye, but they're awesome.
I'm not going to throw Buffalo in it, and I'll be honest, I really want to throw Houston in it, but I'm not going to.
It's also a good pick.
It's got to be the Pats. I think what Russell Wilson's doing, I mean, he's MVP. Seattle, San Francisco. I'm going to go Chiefs and then Packers.
Yeah, I was about to say none of us had the Chiefs.
I still got to go Chiefs.
It's just
But look, this is powering. It's where you are right now, how good you look, how your wins look.
Yep.
I'm almost like, I also say that more confidently than had the Chiefs lost like week two and week five. I think like this is just like a little blip on the radar.
Mahomes is very injured.
I know. And,
that's it.
Yeah, and they're very injured.
Yes.
So they're going to come back to life. This was Hill's first game. He looked sharp, but I mean, it still takes time for the offense to take form when you get the number one target back. They'll be just fine. R-E-L-A-X.
Relax, just in case anybody couldn't spell. On to some injury updates. Bears run stopper, Akeem Hicks. It's Akeem? I always thought it was Hakeem.
Akeem.
Wow, what do you know? Akeem Hicks, avoid surgery, eligible to return in week 15. Will Disley, torn Achilles, out for the remainder of the season. What team is Will Disley on?
Seahawks.
Wow, Will Disley, what a name. Alvin Kamara, ankle, most likely out this Sunday. Amari Cooper's quad, questionable Sunday against the Eagles. Vic, starting with you, which of these injuries do you think is most damaging?
I think overall, it's really just got to be the Bears. I mean, think about where you are. You've got Not the Mitch Trubisky's cream of the crop, but you've got him on the shelf. You've got Gabriel hobbled. The offense hasn't been where it needs to be. The defense is what's made them incredible. It's how they were able to stall a Vikings offense that looked so potent last weekend. But when they came to Chicago, it was like you shut down. They even scored. Was it like 16-0, 13-0, 13-3, the Bears-Vikings game? Excuse me, the Bears-Vikings game from a couple weeks ago.
It was ugly.
It was like 13-3.
It was like 13-3.
So the defense is your stronghold, and now with this, we can't talk about it enough, this NFC North that is, I mean, pick your poison here. Every team's 500 or better. I just think it may not even matter when Akeem Hicks comes back. Granted, the rest of the defense is still incredible. Everybody knows Khalil Mack is going to be making everybody step up. But I just think long-term that it's so hard for them.
I think that Alvin Kamara has to be the most cause for concern, particularly this week. I know we're looking in general, but if he's out this week, New Orleans already has very limited assets on offense, and you're playing in Soldier Field. And yes, if Hicks is out, I'm sure that does hurt them, but they are defense by committee, and they're fantastic, and that is going to be one of the lowest scoring games of the year if Kamara's not playing.
I think it's so obvious to me that it's Will Disley. I mean, he's the second leading pass catcher on the Seahawks, who, when you look at the roster, you're like, who the fuck catches the ball here? I mean, you got DK Metcalf, you got Lockett, now you got Luke Wilson, who's good. He's had a couple,
right, but designed
he's
to
had
the,
a couple
the,
good years.
The blocking tight end.
Exactly. He's 5 receptions on the year. Will Disley led the team with 4 touchdowns on the year. I mean, there's only so much you could put on Russell Wilson's shoulders. Disley?
Yeah.
Second year.
He's really good.
I don't even know who he is.
Fantasy-wise, the worst he's been through the first 6 weeks was a tight end 7. Wow. The guy has been awesome.
And a position that's so thin, and we know this.
I was going to say, do you guys have Will Disley?
We did.
We were loving it.
But also what's different is this guy's out for the year. Kamara will be back in a couple weeks. So I think they just lost this guy for the year.
Yeah, I think you can almost
insert
argue
Luke Wilson.
Cooper. I mean, we sort of touched on it before, but if Cooper can't go, I mean, that's the one thing that the Eagles are that's their kryptonite. It's their secondary. It's horrible. I mean, they just played the Vikings, and everyone's saying Kirk Cousins, you can't do anything. Throws for 300 yards. So Cooper and you dropped a 3-4. It's apparently going to be a game time decision. But if he can't go, Lord help Ezekiel Elliott's
but
legs.
He'll be back.
He's
going to
be out there.
I was going to say that Eagles Vikings game though was we didn't even really talk about it. The defensive end that got let go. What was his name?
Zach Brown.
He when he was like Kirk Cousins is awful.
Former teammate.
Throw on me, and he threw on him for 38 points. It's just, yeah, that was a crazy game. This Cowboys Eagles game is. There's a lot of storylines going into it.
Yeah, we'll be at that Cowboy.
We'll be there.
Stillwater.
Couple of rough weeks.
That's Stillwater.
Week 7 spread pick'em, beginning with the 4-2 Vikings at the 2-2-1 Lions. Minnesota -1.5. All I gotta say is home dog.
Lions, I agree.
+1.5. The Lions are fucking legit. The offense has not looked this solid in a long time. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. Their defense is good. Forces turnovers. Aaron Rodgers had trouble.
Aaron Rodgers had trouble.
And Stafford does have a history of beating up on him, but that wasn't even offensive trouble. He was having trouble moving the ball.
Also, Patricia was with the Patriots staff for years. I mean, the way he approaches a game is just like Belichick. The team looks really sharp, and for losing a game, I was super impressed. They were up 13-0. They kind of took the foot off the pedal at the end of the first half, but I agree, a couple blown and terrible calls really cost them the game.
I'm going to go against the grain here. I say the Vikings carry the momentum.
What else is
new? They just found, and I'll tell you this. Look, I know it's not always the biggest factor. Short week, slightly. The Vikings are able to get a bit of rest in the second half, especially for Dalvin Cook. I mean, you had Madison carrying the ball down the stretch, which is huge for them. I just think that the Lions, after facing that Green Bay defense and losing the way that they did, going against a running back like Dalvin Cook, just when Kirk Cousins is gelling with the guys who we've seen do it time and again, Diggs and Thielen. It's one of the best wide receiver duos in football. And if they're ever going to take advantage of it, it's got to be now, foot on the gas pedal.
Texans 4-2 at the Colts 3-2. Indy -1. Indy.
You got Indy?
I got Indy. They took a bye. They're coming off a bye. Their defense is good. I think that the Texans looked really good against what seems to be a pretty bad Chiefs defense. Not that it was their strong suit last year, but you ran into an injured Mahomes, an injured defense. And I just think that Indianapolis Colts offense is going to be good enough, and their defense is great. I like the Colts.
I'm not fully on the Jacoby Brissett train, and I'm not going to discredit the Texans for beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Hopkins hasn't been Hopkins, and it's only time before he flips the switch. And now Will Fuller's looking like an absolute stud.
Yep.
I said I want to throw him in my top five. I'm pumping the brakes on that, but I got them taking this one in division.
Yeah, Texans, I think so. I'm going to go just another road team carrying momentum, more specifically on the road. I mean, you win in Arrowhead, and there's no reason to think you can't win in Lucas Oil in Indianapolis. So let's roll with the Texans. I think Hopkins finally gets in the end zone at least twice.
Saints at the Bears. Chicago is -3. Jack, who you got here?
You know, I trust Bridgewater over the Trubisky-Chase Daniel combo. So I think even with a hobbled Kamara, I just haven't seen it from the Bears. The defense is great, but they don't score any points. None. So I got to go the Saints. I mean, if Kamara's hurt, you just look Michael Thomas endlessly. So give me the Saints.
Yeah, it'll be tough if Kamara can't go. I don't know if this spread is based on if he's able to go or if not, because Vakemix is out. I know that the Bears even still very stout, putting it lightly. I mean, it's so hard to score. I wonder what the total is for this game. It's got to be like 38. But I would roll with the Saints with the points. I think even if the Bears somehow miraculously win this game, it's going to be by a point or a two with a last-second field goal. So I would go with the Saints +3.
I think that this Saints honeymoon needs to come to an end at some point, and what I've seen the Bears do in Soldier Field on defense, I know that they've had trouble scoring. And by the way, Vic, you're right. 38 on the nose.
It was?
That is the total.
By the way, Vic turns to me this week. He goes, God damn, man, I'm so good at guessing these spreads.
Las Vegas, West State Sportsbook.
That's what you should do.
Vic, are you leaving the pod?
You should be a linesman.
Sorry, guys.
But yeah, I think that this is a very, very low scoring, grinded out game. Something similar to that Bears-Vikings game. I think that the Bears win this one something like, the spread's 3. I could see them winning by 3, but I'm taking the Bears.
It's a typical Gruden's grinder, by the way.
It's a grind one. It's a grind house. Ravens at the Seahawks, probably the game of the week. Seahawks -3.5 at home. Jack, who you got there?
There's some sick games.
Great week.
I said it before. I think the Disley loss is huge. 3.5. I think I'm going to go Ravens. Really tough place to play, but Lamar Jackson with some weapons. They're clicking. Marcus Peters on the defensive end. Give me the Ravens. I've got a lot of away teams.
Yeah, Nick. I mean, this is only tough because Seattle has won so many games, but so many games so close. The Rams victory, that was a 1-point win. The Browns victory, they had to come back. That was a 4-point win. Trying to figure out who they played before the Rams. But,
Bengals.
Cardinals. They beat the Cardinals.
Right. So, 12th man in Seattle is just, I think it's going to be too tough. Lamar Jackson has not seen something like this. And I think it's going to be a bit of a track meet. Although these teams are usually known for their defense, I can sort of see this getting out of hand. I'm thinking Seattle wins like 34-24.
Pick a
Seattle minus 3.5. Pick a total that the game is right now.
I love that.
I think it's probably right now it's probably 46.5.
You're kidding, Vic.
It's 49.
My God, we gotta get this kid on television.
Right, I was gonna say 47, and then I backed that. That was a little too high.
No, you would have been
wrong.
Dude,
they've been beefing these up in past years.
You would have been wrong anyway. I think that the Ravens win this game. Outright. I think ditch the points. I think Seattle is great. I think that the Ravens have been pretty good on the road this year. Close game in Arrowhead when Mahomes was healthier. Absolutely destroyed the Dolphins game one.
Who hasn't?
Of course.
Besides the Redskins.
Went into the Steelers and won. Always a tough place to play. I like them plus 3.5. Obviously, don't ditch the points. Take them, but I'm just saying I think that they win. Never ditch the points, ever. Right, Vic?
Unless you had the Browns in week two against the Ravens. I mean, that was the best pick of the century.
Wasn't it the Jets?
No, sorry, week three.
That was week three.
And I said that was the game of the week. The real game of the week. Eagles at the Cowboys. A battle of a couple of 3-3s. I jumbled over my words there.
You did? You're
3-3, 3-3. The 8:20 nightcap, Dallas, -3. I'll snag this one first. Oh, it's so tough because I don't know about Amari Cooper, but assuming Amari Cooper plays, I'm going with the Eagles. I think that the Eagles are a better team right now. I think that the spread being 3 is just so begging you to take Dallas. Like, they got to win. They got to win. They got to win. And the Eagles just look better. If you can win in Lambeau. Was that in Lambeau?
It was.
You can probably win in Dallas. So I'm gonna take the Eagles as much as it pains me.
Look, I will literally get buried alive rooting for the Dallas Cowboys. I can't not pick them, and because if I bail on them now, then I know what's going to happen.
It's not rooting.
No, but
I'm rooting for the Cowboys too.
It's also I really believe in Dallas, and I think the Cooper thing will be significant, and I'll be really damn upset because he's my favorite player, honestly, after Ezekiel Elliott, and have them both
in
fantasy.
In the NFL?
In the NFL, 100%. Ezekiel Elliott's my favorite player in the NFL.
He's a very closeted Dallas fan. He is. It's not.
I just believe
we should have just buried him alive.
We should have.
What the
you
fuck?
Still can. At this point, I'm going to bury myself with these Cowboys. Look, this is everything. This is the division lead that is hanging in the balance. You lose this also, and the Giants somehow win. Whoever loses this game is going to be tied at 3-4. The Giants, if they do win that game, I just think Dallas knows what's going on here, and it doesn't matter if Cooper's out. I think Zeke will be on the field 97% of the snaps, and they're going to win this game. It's going to be close. It's going to be a fun one. I'm thinking 28-24, Dallas.
You're kidding, dude. You hit it right on the head, 52.
I bet you it's so much lower. What is it, 46?
I don't even have it open in front of me. I'm going Dallas with the points.
It's not points. They're -3.
Okay, so they're wrong. I'm still going Dallas.
With the points. -3.
Yeah. kind of because I took all the other away teams and I got to take a home team, but I think Zeke's on the field and that's really all that matters. Michael Gallup looked so good last week. I can't imagine Dak goes 4 straight games of dog shit. And I think just, what is it? It's what's the stadium called?
Cowboy Stadium. No, AT&T.
I think in AT&T with that raucous crowd.
Jerry's World.
I haven't seen the Eagles. The Eagles have not been impressive. I don't believe in Wentz.
And they have literally no secondary.
It's okay. Ben, I don't believe in Wentz.
That's totally fine. I'm
Dallas.
All right, good.
Big D.
Quick fantasy update. Where are we at now? I've lost.
Who'd you lose
I've lost
to, Ben?
My crown a bit. Who did I lose to?
Who'd you lose to?
Did I lose to what, you? Based what's on the you team saying name? That. Based on you saying that, I'm opening it now.
Yeah. Read my team name took a little change.
And I left Stephon Diggs on the bench because the guy hasn't done anything.
Wow.
Blessed be Minshew's men.
And I started
keto season.
And the worst part is I started Josh Gordon, who left with an injury. Who knows what he could have done against that Giants secondary? Ugh. We never will.
Oh, my God. I did.
Either way, the season's still going until week 14.
I'm still in first, though. Oh, they're divisions. I'm in first in my division.
Am I first? Thank God.
By the way, I got lucky. I'm in a real dud of a division. I got slick at 1-5.
Dude, by the way, Vic.
Bringing up the...
I can't believe I lost to Vic.
Yeah, that's a rough loss.
But it's me and you. Not,
me and you are at the tops in the league.
Wow, the like tongues are really showing out.
Yeah, you guys have always been pretty good at fantasy. Let's each pick one player this week that we... And not... We always do this.
Yeah.
Not like Julio Jones.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be on our team.
It could be anybody.
Yeah,
guy you love,
anyone.
Guy you hate.
The other teams are getting no love.
By the way, fine. I like that. So then it can be a Julio Jones.
Fine.
It can
sure.
be whatever you
it can
want.
Be whoever you
one
want.
Guy that you love this week and one guy that you hate this
do
week.
Do you have one ready to go?
I don't, but we can... I can think
I'll
of
go.
Them.
I like DJ Chark against the Bengals.
Love anyone against the Bengals.
Yeah, love anyone against the Bengals, but I especially love DJ Chark. I'm a big Minshew guy. I think he bounces back after the loss against New Orleans last week. Chark also had a down week last week, but
his
I think
only down week.
His only down week, and I think that's all it'll be. I think he gets a bounce back game mm-hmm. against this depleted and just god awful Bengals team.
Yeah,
somebody you'd sit.
Somebody
or somebody you don't like?
I'd probably sit James Conner, who's on a bye.
Cool. Nice. Vic, you got anybody?
Yeah, someone I love this week. It's got to be Ezekiel Elliott, just because whether Cooper plays or not, I don't think it really will matter. These games are now so important now. They're at 500, and you're starting to get into these division matchups, especially against the Eagles. I'd love to know what his stats are against the Eagles, but I'm pretty sure they're astronomical. So I think even if Amari Cooper plays, doesn't play, Zeke, you got to just love him. You took him anywhere between 1 and 4 overall in your league. You got to trot him out there. A guy I really don't like this week is just, I just somehow really think the Lions have this big letdown game. I'm not saying don't start Kenny Galladay, but temper expectations. I think the Vikings know that that's Stafford's number one target at this point. And if someone's going to beat you, let it be Marvin Jones Jr. or TJ Hockenson. I think temper expectations this week for Galladay.
I love Leonard Fournette this week. I think that he is going to have a great game against a pretty bad Bengals team. Actually, I'm going to switch it. Josh Allen. I think anybody playing the Dolphins.
Anybody playing the Dolphins or the Bengals.
Anybody playing the Dolphins. So I like Josh Allen this week. Somebody that I don't like this week, I think that whether it's Eckler, whether it's Gordon, I think that no one on that Chargers team can do anything, let alone in Titans against that defense. I think that their running game struggles. I think Phillip Rivers struggles. I think I can't believe. By the way, can we talk about that game for 6 seconds? The Titans are -2. Talk about a smelly line. I think the Titans win by 10. I know, Vic, you love those Chargers.
No, because I'll tell you, because they're going to give the ball to Melvin. He said to me today, he said, I can't get in a rhythm with 8 carries. What do you expect? And he's right. And if they want to let him prove that he's worth the whatever more million he's looking for, feed him the damn ball. I see you definitely keep Eckler involved.
Yeah, so
that game I will not be watching.
I was going to say we have a difference of opinions. I would sip both of them. They both stink. Survivor pool update quickly. I am Vic. Are you still alive?
I'm still alive.
Oh, me and Jack are sadly eliminated.
It's my boy, welcome to the grave.
Why did you take Dallas last week?
No, I took the Bears.
Against the Raiders?
Yeah.
By the way, Raiders killed me week one.
I was
fucking
also just
assholes.
Stupid. Why do you put a survivor pick on a game outside of the U.S.? It was just stupid of me. But I am with me and Jack are with the 155 eliminated entries. Friends, it's okay. We still got next year. But there are 143 of you led by Slick Vic, alive and well, still vying for whatever cool prizes, maybe some cash, some fun stuff that we're going to be throwing out there. So remember, set your lineups. Most of you are still alive, by the way, because you haven't been setting your lineups, because and they've the been automatically giving you the number one favorite available. Mm-hmm. So we see you. And by the way, by week 10, we're going to shut that off. If you don't make a pick, you don't just get the number one. It's not fair. So
I'm almost hoping, like, because this week everyone's probably, if you aren't listening to this, you will be assigned the Buffalo Bills this week. I'm pretty sure, because no one's probably taken Buffalo unless you have. So let's root for the Dolphins in the upset.
Should we go to that bar?
Maybe we will. God, heartbreak last week. Ugh. Going for two in the win. But Fitzpatrick starting, return to Buffalo. Anything can happen.
Wow. That is honestly a match. No, they're going to get spanked. Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at VWeb.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Follow us at The Schvitz on Instagram. Super fun, great content. Always trying to do more there. Please join our private Facebook group. We're called The Schvitzers on Facebook. It is what a community we're building over there, just harvesting the youth. Is it harvesting? Is that the right word?
We're harvesting the crop,
rearing our youth.
We're putting our money seeds in the ground.
Money where our mouth is.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things over there in the Schvitzer. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. And thanks so much, and have a great weekend.